following message was given by brothers Aaron Yankowski and brother Frank Hong in the church in New York City on the Lord's Day, September 10th, 2017. The title of the message is The Dry Bones Being Enlivened to Become an Exceedingly Great Army, and the two pieces of wood being joined together for the building of the house of God. Scripture verses are Ezekiel chapter 37, verses 1 through 2, 7 through 8, and 10 through 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 6 and 11. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 5. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3. 2 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 26. Colossians chapter 2, verse 19. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verses 2 and 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 16 and 17.
You're here depending upon you. Lord, we pray, feed us with your living words this morning. Grant us all fresh revelation. Grant us your fresh speaking. Lord, we tell you we live by your every word. Amen. Amen. Well, I think you know, today we are starting the review of the crystallization study, part 2 of the book of Ezekiel. Amen. So it's really a privilege to get to be here for the start of this. And I had the brothers put together the banners, and I thought before we get started we could just read through the banners together. Amen. Amen. Speaking for the Lord, into one another, meetings of the church, fulfills the greatest prophecy in the Bible, which is to build up the church in oneness as an exceedingly great army. God's eternal purpose is to have a building as a mingling of himself with his chosen people. Whatever God does among his people and among the nations on earth is for his building. Christ is both the one who builds the church as the house of an element with which the church is built. For God's building, we need the humanity of Jesus, his human life in resurrection. Glory is the expression of God, the corporate expression of the triune God, and the glory of God and the building of God go together, for the church as God's building is the corporate expression of God. Amen. Amen. And so this morning we're covering the very first message, message 1. And if you have the title in front of you, maybe we can read it together. I'll read it, you can read along. The dry bones being enlivened to become an exceedingly great army, and the two pieces of wood being joined together for the building of God's... Amen. Amen. So this message really comes from Ezekiel chapter 37. And this chapter basically has these two halves where it talks about Ezekiel's vision of dry bones, and then the other half is a vision of two pieces of wood being brought together. And in our sharing this morning, I believe both myself and Brother Frank, we're mostly going to cover the first half of this chapter. But if you had some feeling for the second half, we wouldn't want to restrict you. Please feel free to share on that. But we will primarily share on this first part. And so I'd like to start by just kind of going through the first part of this chapter and kind of telling you what's there and a little bit of the interpretation. And so in this chapter, beginning in verses 1 and 2, Ezekiel is brought in a vision by God to a valley. And in that valley are a lot of bones. And those bones are said to be very dry. And of course, bones indicate something of death. And bones being very dry indicate that they're very dead. If you cook and you've ever chopped bones, or if you're part of the biomedical profession, you know that bones aren't dry. Of course, there's that, I think, that idiom that says dry as a bone or bone dry. But in reality, bones are full of moisture. So that means they were very dead and dead for a long time. And then we know from verse 12 that there were graves. And so it's not only that there was death, but it was a place of death. And then finally, because the bones, we find out from verse 7 later on, they came together, that implies in the first place, the bones were disjointed. And so then you have to ask, well, who does this represent? These bones, who are they? And you might think, well, it was the time of Ezekiel, and Ezekiel was near Babylon. And if you're going to talk about something negative, you might say, oh, it must be the Babylonian people. So it's talking about something negative, and they're dead. But later on, in verse 11, God says, these bones are the whole house of Israel. That means that those bones representing dead people were representing God's people. So God was saying his people, if you put all this together, were in a place of death, in a negative condition, and they were disjointed, and they were not together. So that's sort of the negative part of this chapter. But then there's a positive part of the chapter too. And that's when Ezekiel speaks something for God by the way of prophecy. And so Ezekiel comes in and he prophesies twice according to God's word. And the first time that he prophesies, what happens? The bones come together, joined together. And then they get sinews, like ligaments and tendons. And then they get flesh. And then they get skin. But the problem is they're still corpses. But they're just not as bad as being bones. But then Ezekiel comes and he prophesies a second time. And after he prophesies the second time, the verse says that breath came into them and they became living. Amen. Not only they became living, but they became an exceedingly great army. Amen. And so what you see is God's people in the Old Testament were enlivened by his word to become his corporate people together and being living. And so this is the picture of what is seen in Ezekiel 37. And anytime we read the Old Testament, we need to consider, how is that helpful to us today? And, 1 Corinthians chapter 10 is very helpful in this regard, telling us how to approach the Old Testament. And so we read verses 6 and 10. Verse 6 says, of course, in 1 Corinthians 10, Paul was talking about the children of Israel. He's talking about the children of Israel. And in the midst of talking about the children of Israel, he says this: now these things occurred as examples to us. And then verse 11, now these things happened to them as an example. And they were written for our admonition, unto whom the ends of the ages have come. And so as we look at chapter 37 of Ezekiel, a question we should ask ourselves is, what is the admonition we should be receiving from this chapter? What kind of help should we be receiving from it for our life today as New Testament believers? Well, I'm going to let Brother Frank go into the part about prophesying. That's very positive. But I was actually touched by the matter of death, dry bones, and the grave. And, when you talk about the believers in the New Testament, our nature is that we are living. Ephesians 2:5 says that God made us alive together with Christ. And 1 Peter 1:3 says that God, according to his great mercy, has regenerated us unto a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. So the fact and the reality is that as New Testament believers, we are living. We've been made alive. That's our nature, and that's who we are. But our condition as Christians may not always be that we are living. And if you reviewed this message this week, you would find that talked about there can be graves. And many things to Christians can be graves. And there is a list given by the brother who spoke the message. Said our job can be a grave. Our family responsibilities can be a grave. A lot of different things, right? And I don't know what that means to you, but I thought about it a little bit as it struck me. The Lord kind of impressed me with this point. And I began to consider it. Well, what does that mean that these things can be a grave to me? And I think it means something like there are activities that we can participate in our life that can have a negative impact on our life with the Lord and our experience of the Lord, certain things. And to me, my feeling is that there are two categories, really, of these items. And one category of things that can be a grave to us are those things that are, like, obviously and apparently not positive. And, you know, these are things like aimlessly wandering on the internet for a very long time. That can lead to a sense of spiritual death and a condition of spiritual death. And I think we all experience that. You know, you open up one article and then you see a link for another article, and before you know it, you spend a lot of time. And, you know, this kind of sense of death sets in. You know, I don't know what the latest game console is, but spending a lot of time gaming, that can lead to a sense of spiritual death. And these things are obviously, you know, not positive, right? It used to not be something you could do, but now you can go on Netflix and you can binge watch TV for a very long time, and that can certainly lead to a sense of spiritual death. That's one category of things. And if you struggle with this kind of thing, I was just thinking about it a little bit, there's actually a verse to me that is really helpful, and that's 1 John 3:9. It says, "Everyone who has been begotten of God does not practice sin, because his seed abides in him, and he cannot sin, because he has been begotten of God." So everyone who has been begotten of God does not practice sin. And I think when I first came across this verse, maybe 15 or 16 years ago, my thought was actually that verse is kind of a condemnation. And it's saying, since you sin or you fall short, that means you haven't been begotten of God. But I don't think that's the correct understanding of that verse. Actually, what that verse is saying is that you've been begotten of God, and his seed and his life is in you. And that seed in his life is a life that's able to allow you to overcome sin, able to overcome death. And so if this is your situation, you struggle with these kind of things, if I struggle with these kind of things, like spending too much time watching TV, reading the newspaper, and things that issue in spiritual death that are pretty apparent and negative and that we have a choice about, and we just feel like, oh, I want to do it, and I just can't help it, and you do it, and it bothers you, just keep contacting the Lord. The Lord's life is powerful, and the Lord's life can rescue you from such a situation. Well, I think that's like one category of things that can be a grave. The other category of things to me, in my mind, that can be a grave are those that we just don't have a choice about. Again, things like our job, responsibilities with our work, our commute, especially if we drive and we have to drive a long time, our responsibilities with our family, our management of our finances and management even of investments. All these things are part of our normal human responsibilities, and we can't get away from them. And if we participate in them in a certain way, it can issue in a condition of spiritual death. I'll just share with you my present situation at my job. I basically have to do a lot of writing right now. I do lots and lots of writing, and I'm locked into my office at work, and my office is okay. It's not a bad office. It's the air quality is nice. I've got a decent view, and the door closes, and it's enough space. But I can spend a very long time in there working. And a sense of spiritual death could set in, but when I'm all by myself in my office, not doing anything negative, doing what I need to do as a human being, does a sense of spiritual death bother me? And that's what the Lord sort of shined on me from this message. Does it bother me that spiritual death sets in a situation where I'm all alone, by myself, working, and in the mundane activities of my life? And if you'd allow me the liberty, I'd ask you the same question. Does it bother you to be in a condition of spiritual death when you're taking care of your human responsibilities? And, you know, so many things that we have to do. And what determines whether or not we care about that? You know, as going over this message, I thought, well, what determines if I really care? And what determines if I'm even sensitive about the fact that, you know, there's a, you know, kind of condition of spiritual death? And I was reading that book that we're pursuing together, The History of the Church and the History of the Local Churches. And in the first two chapters, it goes over some of the history of the different Christian groups and different groups of believers throughout the centuries who've had some positive experiences and some negative experiences. And some of them saw things that were wrong with the denominations or saw things that were wrong with the Catholic Church, and they came out of it. But even though they were faithful and even though they were pursuing the Lord, they still had some errors and there were still mistakes that came in. And what was pointed out is that many of those were related to the matter of having a clear vision. And considered, well, probably if my vision is really clear about God's purpose, I would be bothered by spiritual death, by a condition of spiritual death, even if I'm not doing anything wrong. If I'm there in my workplace, taking care of my responsibilities, if I'm clear about God's economy and I have a clear vision of God's purpose, the sense of spiritual death would bother me. So I just consider, well, how much am I bothered? How clear is my vision of God's purpose? And God's purpose, of course I could say it, how clear I am, I don't know. God's purpose is that He would dispense Himself into us as life, and that by receiving His life, we would be constituted with Him, and that we'd be built up to be His corporate people. And perhaps our vision, we've never been clear, and if not, we need to pray for a clear vision. Or perhaps our vision was clear many years ago, but our vision has become a little bit murky. We need to ask the Lord to renew our vision and to refresh our vision, that we could be those who are not impacted negatively by so many things that we have to do, but that we would be those clinging to life and not remaining in a sense of spiritual death. Amen.
The spiritual death, I'm very convicted by our brother's word that often we don't have that feeling. But many times we're bothered. And very much this training on the second half of the book of Ezekiel also began with a plea. Are we satisfied where we are spiritually? The book of Ezekiel began in chapter 1 with the wind from the north. To blow upon us, to blow away our coldness and our deadness. And in this chapter, chapter 37 of the book of Ezekiel, similarly, God came to his prophet Ezekiel and showed him a vision concerning the dry bones. This week, I was very much touched that our God is a God of recovery. For some of us who may be not familiar with the book of Ezekiel, this book is divided into four parts, or you can section it in four parts. Chapter 1 shows the God of glory. Amen. He is a God of glory. And Ezekiel saw that vision that our God is glorious. Right. And then from chapter 2 to chapter 32, we see a series of judgments from Jehovah, from the Lord, to see the things that does not match his glory among his people and among the nations. Now, in the section of chapter 33 to chapter 38 is the matter of recovery. God would not leave his people in the condition of death. Amen. You know, maybe we're all very busy in our activities, but spiritually we are dead as the dry bones that are seen in this vision. But God will not leave us in that condition. And to finish off, the last section from chapter 40 to 48, Jehovah showed Ezekiel a vision of his building, the building of the temple, which is a picture of his house. So I was considering God is a God of recovery. He wants to recover his people because he has a purpose and he did not want to leave his people. people in the condition of death. Therefore, in this vision that Ezekiel saw with the dry bones, I was touched how God came to recover his people. I would like to again read verse 6 and 7. Well, maybe from verse 3, Jehovah came to Ezekiel with a question. First, he showed him that there is a valley full of bones, dry bones, and these bones are very dry. And he asked Ezekiel, "Son of man, can these bones live?" I believe, just like our brother, sometime the Lord may come to us with a question. You may not be happy with your condition and the condition among us. We feel as dry, we feel dead, just like these bones. But in our natural estimation, we are hopeless. Can these bones live? Well, Jehovah came to Ezekiel with this question. Can these bones live? I felt Ezekiel's answer was very good. He says, "Oh Lord, you know. You know. I know we're dead." Ezekiel, as part of the children of Israel, he realized that their condition is death. It is not so good. They're buried in all the graves that occupy them, that suck them out of the spiritual vitality. But he says, "Oh Lord, you know." Actually, for Jehovah to ask this question, the answer is in the questions. He will not leave his people in that kind of condition. And Jehovah answered, "Prophesy over these bones and say to them, 'Oh, dry bones, hear the word of Jehovah.'" Amen. So Ezekiel was charged or commanded by Jehovah to prophesy over these bones. He was not charged or commanded to teach or to condemn these bones. He is simply to charge to prophesy, which is to speak over these bones. And this touched me in a way that often when we realize our death situation, we should not condemn or speak bad about ourselves and about the brothers and sisters, and certainly not about the conditions of the meetings. The meetings may be dead, but it's not going to be dead forever. The condition of the church may be down at the moment, but the nature of the church never changed. The nature of the church is one of Christ's resurrection. Amen. So we need to have faith over our condition. We need to cooperate with the God of recovery to bring in life, to bring in recovery to our present condition. Then says the Lord Jehovah to these bones, "I will cause breath to enter into you, and you shall live. And I will put sinews on you and bring flesh back on you and cover you with skin and put breath in you, and you shall live. And you will know that I am Jehovah." As Brother Aaron mentioned, Ezekiel was charged to prophesy two times. The first time when he prophesied over these bones, these bones are still bones, but sinews came on them. In verse 7, "So I prophesy and I was commanded, and as I prophesied, there was a noise. And suddenly a rattling, and the bones came together, bone to its bones." This is before the breath enter into these bones to make them living. So we need to come together. This phrase, "the bones came together," really touched me this week. No matter how our situation is, you may feel dead, and you may feel very dry, but just come to the meetings. Come together with the saints. Don't wait until you're living. Don't wait until you're alive, then to come. And especially, don't feel like when you come, you come with death. You know, I've been there many times, and I don't know if you had this kind of feeling. It's probably better that the meetings are there without me, or it's probably the saints get together without me, because I just go and bring death along with me. That is a lie from the enemy, saints. You need to come to the meetings. You need to get together with the saints. Even though many times we feel dead, we don't feel we have anything that we can contribute to the meetings. You still need to come. Dry as these bones, they need to come together. Before they are enlivened, before the breath of life enter into them, they need to come together. Togetherness give the Lord, affords the Lord a base to breathe himself into us. So we need to come together. When I read this verse, right away I was reminded of 1 Corinthians 14:26. Whenever you come together, brothers, each one has a song, has a teaching, has a revelation, has a tongue, has an interpretation. That all things be done for building up. But this verse starts with, whenever you come together. And this is the picture in the vision that Ezekiel saw. These bones, they heard the word and they came together. Amen. They came together. Saints, we need to come together. Come to the church meetings. Come in twos and threes. Just get connected with the saints. And verse 8, and I look, and there were sinews on them, and flesh came back, and skin covered them over, but there was no breath in them. These bones, previously, they were just dry, and they were scattered, disjointed. But when you look at this verse, 37:8, and I look, there were sinews on them. There was something added. And that were sinews, and then flesh. Flesh is something that's softer with a sign of recovery. And then skin to cover them. When I read this verse, I was reminded of Colossians 2:19. Maybe we can read that verse together. Let's read it in a positive way. Holding the head, all from whom all the body, these formerly dry bones, dead bones, now they have sinews on them. Right. Now, sinews are the connective tissues that joins or knit together the members in the body. We need to be sinews.
Right. That's right.
We need to connect one another.
Amen.
There are so many around us that needs to come together. They need to meet the Lord, and they need to meet with one another. But in order for these bones to be connected, there needs to be some sinews. Are you a sinew? This week I'm praying, Lord, make me a sinew. Make me someone that would hold on to the others, hang about others, even not to be bothered. You know, sometimes it's to contact some who maybe haven't been meeting with us, or some who are newly saved, who are not used to come to the meetings. It's not so easy, but there needs to be some who would reach out to them and connect them.
Yes.
And not to feel you're bothersome, not to feel that you're a nuisance, but you have a heart to connect these members back to the fellowship of the body of Christ. So we need to be this kind of sinews. We need to go out to reach others. Recently, we have this kind of practice to just kind of disseminate verses or prayers as something that you enjoy in small quantities. this kind of a micro, mini ways of shepherding, much like the way of drip irrigations that you see very prevalent in the state of Israel. You know, Israel is a place that doesn't have a lot of water. So what they practice is they build all these systems that are regulated by computers. And they just drip water, one drip at a time. You may think, one drip of water, what would that do? But to drip that water to the root of a plant regularly, little by little, eventually cause that plant to grow in a proper and normal way. So recently, through some fellowship from the saints, we begin to practice sending a verse through social media, maybe. Because many times you try to call saints or call friends that you care for. They may not have time to answer your phone call. Send them a text. Send them something through social media, maybe just a verse. You may not think a verse is that much, but if you keep sending verse or maybe a recorded prayer, something that you enjoy, but by our steadfast way of sending something to supply them, to connect them, to supply life to them, they and you know, as I was practicing recently, it's not that easy to keep at it, to keep consistent, to remember someone in our prayers. But we need to be this kind of sinews to connect to the other bones and supply life to them. Knit them together. We need to be knit together, saints. One problem with these bones are they're just disjointed. They're scattered. Not only they're dead, but they're scattered. But we need to come together by remembering one another and constantly supply one another with words. Now, in this vision, we see that Jehovah wants to enliven his people, but he would not do it himself. So he asked Ezekiel to prophesy, first, to these bones, second, to the wind. The winds here represents the spirit, right, who will come and impart life to these bones, or the living breath to these bones. So Ezekiel needs to cooperate with the Lord to prophesy over these bones and to pray to the Spirit that life will be brought into the people of God. So in this vision, one application that we need to see is we also need to be those who prophesy. Yeah. Prophesying builds up the church. And prophesying here is not a matter just to predict something in the future. But prophesying here is to speak for God and to speak forth God. We need to exercise our spirit to get into the Word so that we can have something to speak to the other members whenever we come together, whether it be in a large meeting like this or in our small gatherings of twos and threes, or in our home meetings, whenever we come together, we need to come ready to speak something. Maybe initially we all come as dead bones, but as we hear the word of the Lord, we need to enjoy the word and practice the matter of prophesying. We need to speak. Speaking is a way to overcome all the deadness among God's people. You know, prophets in the Old Testament are often raised up when the kings and the priests are not doing their jobs, right? So they're raised up to speak to the people of God. So in the New Testament, the majority of the church have degraded. They have been overcome by sin, by world, and spirit, and especially by the matter of spiritual death. So for us to prophesy is for us to be the overcomers. So overcomers' function is to prophesy. And we cannot just rely on a few to prophesy. Prophesy builds up the church. And the Lord wants to build up the church. In Matthew 16, 18, he says, I will build my church, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it. So for us to have a heart, or to realize that we need to build up the church, we become an overcomer. And an overcomer prophesies to speak. But how do we speak? And how do we exercise to prophesy? Prophesying is not just to speak some word, but prophesying is to minister God, or in our speaking, to excel God to the members of the body of Christ. So I was touched with the last set of verses in 2 Timothy chapter 3, 16 and 17. Can we read these two verses together? All scripture is God-breathed and profitable for teaching, for conviction, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, fully equipped for every good work. Now these verse tells us that all scripture is God-breathed. All scripture is God-breathed. So this is how we need to come to the Word every time, by ourselves or in the meetings. We need to realize that the Word of God is not just for us to study, but the Word of God is for us to inhale. Amen. The Word is God's breath. Amen. So our reading of the Word must be an inhaling of God into us. Whenever we get into the Word, come to the Word, we need to. Whenever we spend some time in the Word, we need to come to inhale God. And we need to fight for our time in the Word. No, even yesterday, I know I need to prepare to speak something to you all this morning. But it's so easy just to look up in the internet, to clean up, to wash the dishes, to fold my clothes, to fix this, to fix that. All the things that I know I need to do, but I also know that I need to get into the Word. So often, you know, we just have to force ourselves to just put everything aside for a minute, just to get into the Word, to inhale the Lord. As you're getting into the Word, right away, when I think about preparing, I think about reading this footnote, reading that message, getting this point, getting that point. But eventually, the Lord just touch me that I need to pray read. Amen. I need to come to the Word, not trying to get a lot of knowledge, but use the Word to pray. Pray over these points. Oh, Lord Jesus, Lord, you are the Spirit. I am dead as the bones. Lord, I need life. I need to come together with the saints. I need to be a sinew. I need another sinew. So as you're in the Word, in the material of the Word, preparing something to share in the meeting, we need to exercise our spirit to inhale the Word into us. Right. We need to contact God, who is the Spirit, who is the divine breath. And we can find that breath in the Word. All scripture is God-breathed. And as we're in the Word, inhaling God, then when we come together in the meetings or when we meet another saint, we have something to share with them in the way of exhaling what we have enjoyed from the Word. I hope this morning what I'm sharing with you are not just something that I learned from studying, but what I've enjoyed from reading God's Word, I can excel that to you. Lord Jesus, right. We all need this kind of prophesying. Right. not just come up to speak something. And even, I know many saints are afraid of to come up to speak to a big audience. But after the meeting, when you meet another saint, don't just talk about the weather. Speak something that you've enjoyed. We all need to speak for the Lord and speak for the Lord.
Amen.
When we speak something of the Lord, of the Word to one another, through this kind of prophesying, the Lord can build up His body.
Right.
And lastly, I want to mention this point of that the way God recovered His people, or the revelation in this chapter shows that the unique way to have the body built up is by the way of life.
Right.
So life is God's way to build up the body of Christ. We see in this vision of the dry bones that eventually after life enter into these bones, they are raised up, but not as individuals. They became an exceedingly great army.
Right.
The Lord needs an army. And we need to experience life and being recovered by life, because we need to be an army fighting for the Lord's interest. So life in itself is not the goal. The goal is for the Lord to have a building. And I really worship the Lord. This is how He has led us. We just finished the review of the Memorial Day conference on knowing life and knowing the church.
Right.
We need to know life, right? And by knowing life and experiencing life, we are built up as the church. And in the second vision in this chapter, we see that there are two dead sticks. One represents the southern kingdom of Judah, and the other stick represent the northern kingdom of Israel. But they are God's people. But they are separate, disjointed. But they became one in the hand of prophet Ezekiel. So we also see in this vision that the way to have the proper oneness is to be in life. We need to enjoy life. We need to come back to life. And as we come back to life, we have the genuine oneness that the body of Christ could be built up. So life, we all need to experience and experience, but the goal is for the Lord to have the body of Christ.
Amen.
To be built up as the army for the Lord's interest. So we need life, and life is for the building. And this is our vision, and this is what the Lord is doing. The Lord is a God of recovery, and we are in the Lord's recovery. Lord's recovery is not our name. The Lord's recovery is really something the Lord is doing. He wants to bring us all into life, and we need to be in life so that the Lord can have His building, so that the church can be built up. So praise the Lord for this chapter. And praise the Lord for all the messages to come. I hope we can remember that we need to be in life, and we need to prophesy, to minister life to one another, so that the body of Christ could be built up. Amen. So this is something that I enjoy. I hope you can now share your portion of something that you enjoy, so that we can all enjoy and be we can enjoy our portion together so that the church can be built up. Amen. So how about let's sing hymn 255. Hymn 255. And then the different language groups can proceed to the language meeting. And then we can have the we can set up the microphone for your turn to prophesy. Amen.